Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
The Bible reveals to us that our Creator God is the ultimate of perfection, grace, and power. He's a God of love, and yet he remains at the same time a God of wrath or judgment for unrighteousness. One pastor compared God to an arch. On one half of the arch is supported by the love of God, and on the other, by his judgment. If both sides weren't there, the arch would fall down. God wouldn't be God if he didn't have the capacity for intense anger at sin. Think of any mass murderer the world has ever had the misfortune to suffer at any point in time. Should unrepentant, cruel, and wicked people be let off with no penalty for their wrongdoing just because God is considered to love everyone from afar off? If God could watch the hurt and evil done on earth with no feelings of indignation and fury, he would be defective in his character as a good God. Without goodness and yet holiness, he wouldn't be God at all. Yet many people don't want to hear about punishment for their sin. They'd rather live in their own little world, ignoring God, as if any coming judgment is a far-fetched story. Rather than apologizing for the doctrine of the wrath of God, Christians should appreciate it as a vital part of God's divine character. And the more we grow in the character of God, the more his nature is established in us. In Romans chapter 14 it says, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written," in Isaiah chapter 45, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God." In today's Bible adventure, Adam and Eve come to realize just how awful sin is.
Satan, in the disguise of the serpent, caused Adam and Eve to transgress the law of God. After sinning, the love and peace that had been Adam's and Eve's was gone. In its place, they felt a sense of sin, a dread of the future, and a nakedness of soul.
Eve, I feel the need of clothing now that the robe of light has left us. In this condition, I don't want to come face to face with God or the holy angels.
Me either, Adam.
Oh, if you just hadn't left my side, Eve, we would still be safe and secure in the shelter of God's love. But no, you had to leave me and listen to the tempter. Why, oh, why did you ever believe that serpent?
I didn't realize the awfulness of sin, Adam.
It is awful, Eve.
There's God, walking in the garden.
Quick, we must hide. I don't want to face him. We'll hide among these trees. There. God won't find us here.
Adam! Adam!
Verse 8 of chapter 3 in the book of Genesis continues with, "The Lord God called out to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid, and I hid from you because I was naked.' Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat?" The man answered, "The woman you put here with me gave me the fruit, and I ate it." The Lord God asked the woman, "Why did you do this?" She replied, "The snake tricked me into eating it." This was the first time that a blame game was played out on earth. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the snake. We're each responsible for resisting temptation. We cannot blame the circumstances or claim that a temptation was too tough for us. We cannot blame Satan. We certainly cannot blame God. We can only blame ourselves, because sin is a result of our own sinful desires that reside in our hearts. It is our own evil desires that Satan uses to snare us into sin. To be honest, we never like to take the responsibility for our sins. To avoid the shame and guilt, we try to justify ourselves by blaming others, but it never works. Both Adam and Eve realized that they were naked after the act of eating the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, and they felt rightly ashamed. In a futile attempt to hide their guilt, they sewed some fig leaves together to make a covering. But they soon found out that it isn't possible to remove the guilt of sin by trying to hide the sin, deny the sin, or blame it on others. Adam and Eve's consciences were opened, and they realized that they had sinned, which caused them to fear God and his punishment. The questions that God asked the two weren't to find out new information, because he already knew what they'd done, as God knows everything. Instead, God wanted them to confess their sin, and it's never recorded in the Bible that they actually ever did. Eve first opened herself up to the temptation presented by the serpent when she began to doubt God's word and why he may have given her such instructions. When we doubt God's word and his goodness toward us, we open up ourselves to temptation because doubt is the opposite of faith and trust in God. And a lack of faith lies at the heart of all sin. Having faith in God and his ability to do the impossible is greatly emphasized throughout the Bible. God isn't interested in our fig leaves or how we sowed them. Nor is he interested in our human good works. He only asks that we trust his word and then obey it. God wants us to confess our sins to him and not try to hide them or reason it away. In 1 John chapter 1 it says, "If we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing." Jesus will clothe us in Christ's righteousness. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. Following along with Adam and Eve's blame game, God then pronounced his judgment on all three, the man, woman, and the serpent. He started by cursing the snake for its role in tempting the woman. It and its offspring will always crawl on their bellies and eat dust as a sign of defeat. In Genesis chapter 3, God told the snake that snakes and people would hate each other and always be enemies. God said to the snake, "Her offspring will crush your head, and you will bite her offspring's heel." Now what did that mean? The snake represented a higher evil power, or Satan. God gave a promise of a savior who would be the offspring descendant of the woman and would come to crush the power of Satan and destroy his work. Although the savior, or Christ, was badly wounded and even killed, he emerged victorious. God mercifully holds out hope that one day evil will be overcome by goodness, and this will result in the blessing that Adam and Eve lost being restored. God wants to restore this to his believers and his chosen people of Israel if they would trust in Jesus too. How we look forward to that day. God's judgment against Eve was especially directed at her role in childbearing. What should have been a role of pure joy now would be accompanied by intense pain and hard labor. Eve's relationship with Adam also now changed. Instead of sharing in equal partnership, she would find herself concerned about his welfare first, while her own interests would take second place to his. Severe as this judgment was, it was softened by God's grace and mercy. The human race would not be cut off from God forever. Children would continue to be born and bring joy to their parents, even though there would be sad times as well. God's judgment against Adam was especially directed at his primary role in providing for his family. Adam now had to work the land amid toil and struggle so he could put food on the table for his family. This would have been a difficult thing to bear as God cursed the ground. Food-producing trees would no longer spring up with no effort on man's part. Adam would have to plow, plant, and cultivate the land, as well as pull out all the weeds. Despite all this, Adam's punishment was also softened by God's grace. People were able to eat the plants of the fields, and with man's hard work, the land would give him and his family sufficient food. God's curse on the ground remains the same today, even in present times. But believers in Christ look forward to when this curse will be lifted and God creates new heavens and a new earth for his people. God had ordained that the punishment for eating the forbidden fruit would be death. The tree of life would no longer be available to Adam and Eve either, as they were sent away to live outside the garden. All human beings have received this punishment of death, because we have all been born into a state of being a sinner with a sinful nature. We too, no matter our age, receive a sentence of death for our sins too. While the snake and ground were cursed separately, Adam and Eve weren't. Although Adam initially called his wife woman, it wasn't until after God's punishments were announced that Adam called his wife Eve. Adam believed the promise that his wife would bear children, and his faith saved him. The name Eve means life-giver. In response to their faith, God killed the first animal and shed its innocent blood to show the spiritual and earthly lives lost by Adam and Eve choosing a life of death and separation from God when they disobeyed him. God then, in his mercy, clothed Adam and Eve with garments of animal skin. This showed that God loved them in spite of their sin and disappointment at what they had done. God killing an animal to clothe Adam and Eve was the first blood sacrifice ever mentioned in the Bible. God killed an animal to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness and sin. This animal substitute for sins foreshadowed the sacrificial system established later in the Old Testament for the Jews. It was replaced by a final, perfect sacrifice of Christ, our precious Lord and Saviour. His sacrifice on the cross doesn't merely cover our sin outwardly, it also removes our sin from us inwardly. The other lesson we can learn from today's Bible adventure is that human beings cannot by their own efforts cover or justify their natural sinfulness. None of us can. It is only God who can provide the covering or true righteousness that we need, which he has achieved through Jesus Christ's obedience to death on a cross. Only when it was too late that Adam and Eve found that their highest good and purpose was not to be like God, but rather to be with God. Now that Adam and Eve had sinned, they were driven from God's holy presence. This is surely the most tragic part of mankind's fall in the garden, because God created human beings' highest good to remain in fellowship with himself. God closed the pathway to the tree of life by placing winged heavenly beings, each armed with a flaming sword, at the edge of the garden to keep Adam and Eve away. The result of their sin caused Adam and Eve to live the rest of their lives outside their original beautiful garden home. Some people have dismissed the Lord Jesus as not being fully human. Yet at God's promise of his coming, there was no doubt that he was to be born of a woman and to be fully human. Jesus Christ is the last Adam. The first Adam's disobedience plunged the whole world against its will into sin, but the last Adam's obedience in Jesus Christ brought full salvation. In Adam we die, but in Christ we have eternal life. How can anyone possibly clear away all their past sins? It's only Jesus Christ to whom we can admit we have done many wrong things, as well as ask for his forgiveness and help to turn away, which is repentance, of all of those bad things that we've done. We do this by asking Jesus to be the Lord and Saviour of our lives, and to trust him to lead us by his Holy Spirit forward into the future. Are you ready and prepared to give an account to God for your own personal time while here on earth? If not, get ready now. The pastors who watch world events connect them to prophecy pieces in their Bibles. From this research, such people claim that the final days on earth are on us. We actually need to be watching for the call of the Lord Jesus to take us out of this dying world in his own perfect timing. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11, God says, "I alone am the Lord, the only one who can save you." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.